I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 341, an extra, extra special Christmas episode. I have to say extra twice because it's extra special that we're doing a Christmas episode, but it's also an extra episode. We weren't planning to do this, but we were moved by Netflix.
I really
I thought you were moved. Yeah, I thought you were moved by the Christmas spirit.
No. I'm dead on the inside.
Were you visited right. by three ghosts last night?
Yeah, and I kicked them all out.
That's why you weren't sleeping.
And it's a trick question. He was visited by four ghosts.
Ooh.
Oh, the first one, Marley, is a ghost. Marley.
See, everybody says three ghosts.
Well,
he's visited by four ghosts.
If you adhere to the Muppets Christmas Carol, it's Marley and Marley, so there's five ghosts.
Yeah, but that's not canon.
God, here we go.
Muppet Christmas
gotta
Carol.
Be specific.
That's not Dickens canon.
That's Disney. Whatever Disney produces, that's canon.
That's not Dickens canon.
It's law. Disney produces law.
So we would normally go around the table and introduce ourselves, but we have all sorts of different people on this one. There's only two regulars.
And we're outnumbered.
That's so right.
We will start with my lovely wife.
Hello.
And say your name.
My name is Crystal O'Keefe.
And you're also the host of the hit podcast.
The Clip Out.
All about a Peloton bike that I don't ride.
You can find that at facebook.com/theclipout or theclipout.com.
Look at that. See, she's getting good at this.
Wow.
Right? And next item up for bid.
Hi, I am Lindsay Walden. I am back again. Y'all thought y'all were done with me. No.
Remind me, what was the last one you were on?
The 50 Shades.
Okay, but there was a non-50 Shades one that you were on, right? No?
Well, she was
I
on
don't
two
think
50
so. I've been on two
shades.
50 Shades.
I thought you'd been back for another one.
I don't think so.
Okay.
See?
Unless I'm completely, like, I don't know, had amnesia about that one
event. At this
point,
we've done so many.
I will say, though, the last 50 Shades, it went, like, way over time. Like, we were here for, like, a good, like, hour and a half, probably. We were here
like,
for a while,
the
yeah.
first
we,
one was like that, too.
Yeah.
We got another one in February. So.
I know, right? Wait.
So, we've learned now to stop, like, worrying about them going long. Like, we'll just cut out the box office and do a two-part episode if we have to, because
right.
there's no controlling episodes like that.
Well, I mean, you bring a sex therapist to a conversation about 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know what you're expecting, but I got lots to say.
Yeah. It's not going to be quick.
Right. There is a whole lot to cover.
And the movie this week is not sex.
It's not. No, not at all. But you asked when
but
I had been
you,
here.
We,
so.
Well, we asked you. No, I was just saying that, like, we did. We like you don't necessarily got to sex up the Christmas movie. I just
this is not
oh,
a sex.
Don't
Christmas
tempt
movie.
Me. No, right. It's really not. Yeah.
Well, good because the kids are upstairs.
Yeah. That's not what they meant by stocking stuffer.
Right.
Oh wait.
Yeah. Oh no. My wife is in charge of the maracas. That's although I can be like, hey, nice maracas.
Oh my God.
That's why I made sure you had it.
Right?
Okay, the next person.
I'm Katie Brackett.
And that's about it.
You don't
I'm
have
not
any
fancy
websites
you
to promote
or find me anywhere. I don't want you to.
That's fair. Fair enough.
And I am Kevin Brackett.
And I am Tom, but I would think you'd almost have to know that by now if you're listening this far. So our movie, I don't even say of the week. We've got so many movies coming out right now. It's crazy. We're just pounding through episodes.
Two Star Wars, The Shape of Water, and two Christmas specials, and then, ostensibly. Five episodes this week?
That's crazy.
Within a week?
We are madmen.
That's some insane radio right there.
It is. So Netflix was kind enough to put out another Christmas movie, so we figured we would tackle that one as well.
You know, I think it's because of the success of the first one based on our podcast that we did.
We haven't released it yet. We're recording this before we released it. But
it was like 3 weeks ago. So
we recorded it a while back.
Well, they heard the buzz.
Is that what it was? Yeah. They rushed another movie
so
into production.
So we could do more podcasts.
Yeah.
So, this one's not going to be good, is what you're saying. Yeah. It's only 3 weeks to do the production.
So before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it.
Has anyone shared the Christmas Prince episode yet?
Well, since we haven't released it, I have no League of Show Sharers to read off. So if you're not hearing your name, don't be offended. We're recording these all wackadoodle. So we don't have a way to know because you haven't done it yet. Because you haven't been afforded the opportunity. But if you want to do that, if you're so moved after hearing this one that you got to share it with your friends, you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. So there. That's all that. Who's going to synopsize this movie since Joe is not here?
Is there a Wikipedia or anything on this?
I was going to cheat with Wikipedia, and it's like three sentences.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that seems pretty accurate.
I thought it was overkill, to be honest.
What was that video you made me watch last year about all Hallmark movies? It was like, work, 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 love, 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 yeah. Work, 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 love, work, love.
Yeah. I think I can give a little shot. So it's, from what I understand, it's a party girl, Harris. Her dad gives her this.
Harris.
The H is silent.
Oh. Well, that's stupid. Whatever.
I mean, she looks...
Clearly, I'm just low class. I don't know that.
I just thought she needed a shave.
She looked fairly hairless, but...
Clearly, that word's not in my vocabulary. I would have not have known that. I don't know anybody.
None of us are heiresses.
I don't think any of us in this room are heiresses anything. Yeah.
I'm not in line to inherit shit.
Certainly not a party.
No. So, her dad gives her this tag. To be able to be trustworthy, to be able to inherit this company.
Well, so it opens at a Toys for Tots party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like some benefit. Like her dad and family's company is supposed to be sponsoring this Toys for Tots, and she's off doing whatever, trying to get money, but she's not really, she's just partying and gets...
Oddly, she's doing gymnastics.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on a lot of the outfits she wears, I thought at first they had misspelled tots.
That red dress in the very beginning, I thought I was like, mm-hmm.
I was like,
a
whoa.
Lot of boobage going on.
Put the girls away.
This one was definitely directed by a dude.
Yeah.
Because it was like.
Because, I mean, we got great shots of those red underwear, those red pants that she was wearing.
Yeah.
I mean, they were had of their own scene in the very beginning.
They had their own scene.
I mean, there was like ruching down the middle. You can see every detail. Jeez. Yeah, definitely.
Do you have any therapy, Lindsay, that you'd like to contribute?
She needs some after that.
I'm just laughing at that, the level of detail at which Katie is describing the underwear that we signed up.
Did you even finish the movie?
Right. It was really hard to get past that point. I was like, are they
sounds
trying
like she almost
advertise?
Finished right there.
Right. I was like, do I need to go buy this underwear? Are they advertising to me? I know a lot about her underwear in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
Well, maybe this should be a good night tonight.
Maybe this is my fault. Like, I come in to do like a Christmas episode and it automatically goes sexual. Automatically goes there.
This is rated TV PG.
Right, like, right. I just bring it out in people. I don't know what to tell you.
I just get so relaxed talking to you. Right? Talking about these things.
So she's challenged by someone to do some sort of gymnastic
stunt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So
that guy the with money, the quadruple the money.
Yeah,
for,
the guy with the weird accent.
I can tell you.
Yeah, the German guy that had no German accent whatsoever.
I thought he was supposed to be like country. Was that not?
No, because he said like, you got my vote from the German judge.
Oh, he
like,
did say that. No. I didn't know why he said that.
Well, I
you're
actually,
like, he's not from Germany. Like, Germany, like German, like as in like his great-great-grandfather was German and he's... doesn't
just happens
anything.
To be sort of German. Okay.
Yeah, just claiming
I actually have the news article about the event, so I can tell you exactly what happened.
Because
they shared it. This is what happened. So headline, Ellen Langford crashes her own Christmas benefit. Toys for Tots and their sponsors at Home and Hearth Gifts got a lot more bang for their buck than they bargained for when Jim Langford's feisty millionaire daughter crashed into a Christmas tree after answering a dare by friend Freddie Wright.
Wait, if she's already a millionaire, she doesn't need an inheritance.
Yeah.
This is just wasteful.
Well, I think
they probably assume.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if those articles are written by the same magazine
I thought it was a crossover.
I watched the beginning of the second time. I'm like, is this the same magazine?
Oh, that's
is
funny.
This the same articles? I was really looking
for please tell me they were different notes.
Oh, my God. Those notes. Oh, God.
We know,
started on that.
Do we know if these were made by the same production company?
I bet you, I would bet any amount of money they're not, because there is a complete quality difference between
these two films.
Okay. I was watching this, and I'm like, this was not made by the same people.
Well, the only reason I ask is because I felt like when they get to Snow Falls, the
that was clever.
I love that too.
The main street.
What is it called when it's not in the winter?
Yeah,
it's called Falls.
It's just called Falls, no snow.
I actually have a picture of it not in the winter, and there's no snow there. Yeah.
But their main street looked, and the restaurant looked like the same restaurant and street scene from the dad's restaurant in Christmas Prince.
Are you talking about Greco's Pizza and Pasta, located at 344 Algonquin Avenue?
In Ontario?
In Ontario, Canada. Yeah. Where is this supposed to be that she takes a bus to?
It's the end of the earth.
I figured upstate New York is what
Do you think it was just...
No, it's not, because he says, like, oh, are you from New York?
And Connecticut is what I thought maybe they were.
No, that's Christmas in Connecticut. That's a whole different
song. I'm thinking
of Barbara Stanley.
So I know we're jumping ahead, but while we're talking location, so they pass a sign that says, like, a Canadian city that, like, when she's taking the bus up there, she passes a sign, and then...
I think my eyes were glazed over.
And then there's a street address for this Greco's Pizza that says Algonquin, and I'm like, that just sounds Canadian. I don't know.
I know in New York there was the Algonquin Round Table, and there was a hotel called the Algonquin.
Yeah.
So maybe I just made a bad guess that was right. I was just a guess.
You just heard something foreign, and we're like, oh, it's in French.
Well, I think when they passed the sign and you saw like the scenery and everything, I'm like, it looks like this is Canada. Like, you know, it just had that look where I'm like, this doesn't look like it's
filmed
in the States.
Except the snow. I mean, that snow, I couldn't help but wonder by when, now her getting into Snow Falls, she got off the bus and they put her luggage on. She just sliding across. I'm like, snow does not work that way.
For a town that has snow in their name, they are completely incapable of plowing streets.
Yes.
There's always snow. Like, not like there's snow off to the side. Like, the streets are covered in snow.
It's just two lines for where their cars are. But what I noticed, though, it actually slowed it down because it bothered me so much, is that when her suitcase flew into the street...
That was something special.
That really was. You probably know what I'm talking about then. So when the taxi hit her car, and I saw the suitcase fly forward, there was actually like liquid. It was liquid snow. And I actually zoomed in on it, and I paused, and I'm like, that snow is shaving cream.
And the wheels were also covered with it, and they weren't spinning. It was like
snow-covered
wheels that were sliding. It was so
Snow has a lot more friction than that.
Because I'm from the South and we didn't have snow, so it's funny. Yeah. I don't pick up on those details because I'm like, snow is snow. But you're right now that I think about it.
Yeah, when the suitcase was open and it slid across in front of it, like a whole wave of shaving cream snow was just like just liquefied. I'm like, that's not puffy enough. That's got lumps in it. That's not snow. That's shaving cream.
It was a money
shot.
That's
interesting. Right. Oh, boy.
It just went everywhere.
So back to this party.
You love the money shot.
I have to say, I Googled, not about the money shot.
Thank you for clarifying. Right. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. So, different type of review.
So the Christmas Prince was filmed in Romania.
Right. The castle's in Romania.
Yeah. But the other place was filmed in Ontario. So they were not filmed in the same cities.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I just figured that part was a set.
I don't know. It said that's where they were filmed.
Yeah. So they may have used the same, who knows, pizza shop or whatnot. Right. From, but yeah. They were in Chicago for a lot of it, too, I think. So who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows where they filmed these things?
But no, and actually for this movie, the location was set in New York, and they actually filmed all of New York in the beginning of it. Like, they didn't cut to Chicago at the last second.
Yeah, that was weird.
As with the heard, Chicago State flag and everything.
Well, it's a different episode.
I wasn't there.
You'll hear, your window.
You'll hear all about that. But yes,
she's emphatic about it.
That was my first quality clue, was I'm like, oh, stock footage of New York for New York. I'm like, this is a classic production. So back at the party. So I know she's supposed to be this heiress, and, you know, she's an embarrassment, and I totally get it if your kid is like just being a party, you know, party girl and wrecking things or whatever, but like I also thought she's trying to raise money for charity,
right?
At least the guy's like, I will double my donation if you do this, right. And
he quadrupled.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, honestly,
I really don't think they did that right. Like, I was, yeah. I mean, I and Tom,
they should have set her up as more of a,
well, especially because in the next scene when she's at the office, she's like brainstorming ideas, and she's like, we're not going to do that, we're going to do this. And I'm like, well, is she a flighty chick who just wants money and parties, or does she, I mean,
that's what I mean, her personality doesn't match what they're trying to set her up for, because this whole time you can tell she's actually a really good person. I mean, none of her intentions, she should have been more like a Paris Hilton, like you'd imagine, like a, you know, I don't care about these charities, or you know, like,
right,
but, because what they're setting up, honestly, when she likes to party, and then when she's done partying she can get the job done, how many like male heroes of movies are like that?
Work hard, play hard,
right? And so it's like, that's what she's doing.
It's also difficult for me to watch a movie where the character is not written consistently. Did I say that right?
I
said the word. You ever say a word and you go, that word didn't sound right? So I was married to a English professor that also was a creative writer, and he wrote a lot of fiction stories. So I learned a lot in that whole time period of like what it takes to write a good character, and almost immediately I was like, oh my God. She's not consistent. Like, there's nothing consistent about her character.
Not at all.
And that's difficult to buy into. Like, it really is.
Yeah,
it really is.
They really can't figure, like, they tell you in the opening scene where she's doing the backflips into the Christmas tree.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're a lifelong gymnast. And then for the rest of the movie, she's like this clumsy, she's dropping stuff.
Yeah. And
I'm like, but you're a gymnast who could do like 3 backflips.
Right. Into a Christmas tree. Right.
Also, she was going to nail that before the lady yelled at her.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you choose? She's watching her the whole time, and when she's in mid flip, she yells.
That's when you scream at her.
Yeah. Let her finish the thing at least. Like, so it really was her fault. She was going to quadruple the donation.
Yeah.
She was going to land it.
Well, she still should. She still should have gotten quadruple the donation.
Well, yeah.
She did the damn flip.
Because she did it. What a schmuck.
The guy doesn't donate. Freddie Wright?
Yeah.
Freddie Wright, we got a problem with you. So anyway, I just thought, yeah, the character seems like an okay person to be this party heiress.
Plus,
yeah.
I didn't think it was so party-y to be doing a backflip. Like, I don't know how many parties you guys have been to. Right. I have never seen a backflip.
Backflip.
It's so like, we have to keep the squeaky clean, but we need something crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing they got wrong with this production, was not setting that character up for a redemption. Because, I mean, there's really not much of a redemption there.
There's really not much wrong with her.
That's what I mean. She's
Yes. I totally agree.
Yeah,
therapist Lindsay in my brain was like, all right, so if this person was in my office, I'd kind of be like, so you got a little crazy at a party, but I don't think you're like significantly impaired. Right. You know, like, I don't think we should like beat you up for it.
Yeah. Her choice of dress and underwear were more upsetting than...
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. I have no notes on that, but...
Because your wife deleted them?
Right.
So we didn't watch this movie together, so I don't know.
Well, you should look at her notes, because she has extensive notes.
Right. She very much picked up on the underwear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the next day, she goes into the office, and she is like ready to get down to work. And they're like, the dad is giving her all this crap.
Why is this front page news?
Right.
It's literally front page news.
Well, you know, the media, they just change.
Why are there so many reporters? That, literally, there are, I mean, on that screenshot I got, there are 6 different publications that picked up this story of a handspring gone wrong event.
And they show the Daily Tally. It's the front page of the Daily Paper in New York City.
It's not like the, it's not, this is not Snow Falls here. This is New York. Like.
actually, that's a good point, because if it happens in a small town, then yeah, that might be right. big news. But in the middle of New York, I mean, it's
that's
just
nothing.
Are you talking about the New York interpreter? Is that the one?
Party heiress crashes Christmas ball.
Right.
Oh my God.
And I liked how her dad was like reading it down the hallway. Party heiress.
So
that word is killing you.
I can't do it. My St. Charles mind can't do it.
Just forget that there's an H. There's no H.
There's no H. An H is silent.
She's going to be like Christmas and Eritons.
Did you guys, just total side note, since I captured the
Are you married to Eliza Doolittle?
Yeah.
Right.
So the main article about the crashing the Christmas ball, there's another news story. I don't know if anyone caught this news story on the side. Chef finds himself in hot water.
That's some good
wordplay.
Downtown chef adds his own twist to Christmas favorites that left a number of local patrons sick to their stomachs when they all got food poisoning after.
That is so punny. I think below that there was a warehouse sale too.
And there's a warehouse sale next month. So.
Oh, good to know.
I thought it was funny that they actually set up like another news article on the side.
It's important to have that sale after Christmas.
Yeah.
So the dad basically gives all this crap about this Toys for Tots thing gone wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're talking about that he was going to retire and give her the company. But after this,
I want to give someone I can need to trust.
Right. I love, like, you made up your mind. Well, I was almost sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Handspring.
Right. That just really threw it off. Yeah.
And the writing, given a different circumstance, if she was really a party girl, I totally get it. You don't want like an August Bush the Fourth taken over.
Right.
I mean, I totally understand. Mm-hmm. Seriously, having a party kid that's like doing drugs and getting people killed or whatever, like that's your reputation in your company. But this girl is not that
at all. And, like, we need footage of her like doing a line of coke off of a guy's junk.
Yeah.
Like that's
pretty much
that's a party heiress.
That is something.
It wasn't snowing when that suitcase went across the ground. That was all from the open suitcase. So
she sneezed.
Yeah. So he comes up with this idea. He and his brother write letters every Christmas back and forth, I guess, to remind them of where they came from.
Well, they're not brothers.
Yeah, they're business partners.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, because I get that.
I thought they were trying to be inclusive. I didn't know.
Like, that's, I mean,
I thought they were
they
brothers.
They look nothing
one's white,
alike.
One's black.
No, totally.
Well, she's engaged to a black man, so. Yeah. Just,
but that's not blood.
That's true.
Relative.
That's true. Like, yeah.
But we talked about on the last episode, The Christmas Prince, how inclusive they're trying to be with every walk of life. And so I thought it was like, yeah, why can't they be brothers? You know what I mean? I thought that this was like the mainstream politically correct. Yeah, they're brothers and don't
mention
it.
But they had different last names too.
Okay, got it.
They had different last names. And so.
Well, why can't he take his wife's last name? This is 2017, Crystal.
He could. However, Kevin, when they filmed Where It All Started and they had the news article where they were in the booth and they had the picture. Back then, before they were married, they had different names.
He took his mother's maiden name because that's, that's the kind of guy he is.
Why couldn't they have married each other?
Yeah.
They could have. I wasn't stopping them.
Wow. These guests we have are really not as progressive as I thought.
But speaking of inclusivity,
is that
a word?
Yes, sure. It is.
It is now.
You mentioned, I remember you noting that they had on the dance floor at the party, there were two women dancing.
Yeah, there were two. In the final scene, there's two women dancing.
Nice.
How did I miss that?
Huh? It was the final scene. You were done.
Yeah.
I want to out myself a little bit here about the whole fact that this was a tough movie for me to get through. Like, I'll be completely honest. Like, I might have nodded off a few times. What?
Did you watch The Christmas Prince?
No, I have not
yet. Okay, so if you watch that movie first and then you watch this.
It's a delight.
It is a whole different ballgame. I just want to get that out of the way right now.
Well, that's good to know.
It's not good either. But, it's just not as bad as this.
But we were setting up, so we watched The Christmas Prince.
Right.
And then this came around, we're like, well, we got to check out the next one. And then I watched this, I'm like, this is nowhere near the abomination that was. Like, that one, like, the people were cartoons in that movie.
Yeah.
The characters were straight up cartoons. Where this one is like, they're acting. I mean, they seem way more.
I thought this was
legit.
Much better than the last one.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Well, not in a make fun of type of way, but quality wise,
I think this one, the first, I feel like A Christmas Prince knew what it wanted to be.
Okay.
And it did it. It wanted to be
jokey,
a schlocky,
a crappy, cheesy Hallmark Christmas movie, and very broad, and it did it. And I feel like this one fails at very simple things, like keeping the character consistent. Like, she she changes from scene to scene. There's just silly things. Like, they keep telling her to dress like dress appropriately for the weather. And I'm like, bitch, she has a coat on. Like, what do you want from her?
What do you want her to do?
I'm like, she's got a coat and a scarf on. And all you're right, up but her ass about.
Whoa.
She's like also a full coat.
And she's got thigh-high leather boots. You just calm down.
Leather
there.
Is very
just calm
warm.
Down there.
There were stilettos and snowfalls.
That is true. When she gets off the boat, when she gets off the bus and like she steps out, you know, and she's got the stilettos. I'm like, even me
who
being.
Decides I'm going to take a trip and, oh, let me get my favorite stilettos on. Right. That's but never a thought.
Everyone in every movie ever, basically. That's it.
No.
You know, and maybe I would give her a little bit different credit if she was from a really warm place starting off, because when I first moved to St. Louis, the first snowstorm I ever experienced, I wore open side shoes and didn't understand that that was a bad plan. It wasn't until I walked outside for a few minutes and I went, oh, this is a bad plan. But, you know, I didn't know because I didn't grow up with it. And here I am like 21 in a place that has snow and I've never had snow.
Sure.
I think she kind of had more of some knowledge.
Yeah, she
lives
in New York.
She's from New York.
That's what I'm saying. She's not from the
South. New York is super cold.
I thought the same thing. They get 2 feet of snow and it's like nobody's business, right?
She's still walking around those damn stilettos.
Right.
Not practical, Kevin.
Waiting for the attendant on the bus.
So the hilarious. Yeah. Dad, we should talk about the premise here, is the dad tells her she needs to go there. They write these letters back and forth every year. She needs to go there. Give the letters to the business partner, right?
He says the whole point of these letters is so they're forced to visit each other, and then he sends the daughter to go do it.
Right.
Doesn't that seem to kind of eliminate... I'm not talking about when you know any twisteroos coming up or anything, but like that defeats... He just basically was like, yeah, we only do this, so we have to go see each other. Oh, I've got an idea. I don't have to go because you're going to go. I just felt like that was really undermining the whole
But she's also supposed to do it... Like, they start out like he started out with $100.
Yeah. And I'm like,
apparently
okay.
This business owner does not know about inflation.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, fine. Give her the same amount of money, but, like, inflation. You guys started in 1981. Like, the value of money is far different. Yeah. Like, come on now.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, too, it's like she can't bring any credit cards.
Right.
It's just $100.
Because nobody can know who she is.
And he's going to pay for the... ticket, the generic ticket. They don't tell you what type, right?
Yeah.
So she thinks she's flying when she's talking in the next scene about it.
All the coke.
But she thinks she's flying, and then she talks to her fiance in the next scene and says, well, I can't bring any credit cards. I can't let anyone know who I am. And I'm like, so you're planning on flying, but you're not going to have anything with your name on it?
Right.
Like,
she would have
how
had
do you think
license.
That you're going to... I just thought it was a weird setup where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't bring anything that has my name, but you think you're flying. You can't just fly around with no
That's true.
ID.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah. Right?
Again, goes back to the writing. You're like, they didn't think this out.
And if you're worried about not being able to give credit cards, well, take the fiance's credit card. Why would he not let you use his...
But see, that's another example of them not consistently writing this character, because she wants to do this.
Yeah, she acts like
she's
can't.
Like,
in the next scene, she's like sneaking him on.
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense, because she wanted to do it, but then when she got to the airport...
She had a bunch of credit cards.
Yeah, she's saying goodbye to her dad, and she's got all the credit cards, and then he's like, platinum.
Yeah.
And she pulled it out of
from her bra.
Right.
Didn't check the other cup. I mean,
bra money.
He counted the credit card. He knew.
I was like, that's the only thing I could think of, is maybe he...
Because if he goes into the other cup, that's a discover.
I just thought, that's awfully weird that she's trying to be sneaky, and he takes the two credit cards, and he just believes her that she doesn't have 10 different credit cards hidden.
Right. Well, I interpreted that as he got her all the credit cards.
Yeah.
Right, but
so he knows what she has.
But the fiancé doesn't offer to give his credit card.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Well, because the fiancé's a dick.
Now,
yes.
I get it. But, you know, I'm just like, this. It's just... I think that's the example, right? I'm not saying this point ruins the movie, but when you really think about the writing...
No, I think what ruins the movie is the movie.
Oh, is that what
it
is? Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with writing. I think the writing, if you don't have good... the movie, the actors, all of that can sometimes, if like the writing is good, it can coast. But I feel like if the writing is not, then the movie is... It's a struggle to get through.
Yes.
And I'm on the other side then, I guess, than Tom, because I thought the production quality was much higher. I'm not talking about writing and her character, but I thought the production quality of this movie was far above The Christmas Prince. Like, I was looking at the camera work, and I was looking at the actors, this lead compared to the lead in A Christmas Prince.
Well,
she was a much better actress.
There's people you've seen before in this.
Yeah, but I just mean this lead, though, not Reese Witherspoon. She was way better than...
That's what I called her, too. I'm like, oh, it's not Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Right.
Who's the guy? Not Jason Sudeikis?
Oh, he's... No, he's not Jim. He's Jim 2 from The Office.
Yeah! That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, oh my god, it's the second gym.
He was the second gym when they were gonna try and spin it off. He's the one that ends up marrying Ellie
Kemper's
character.
Second gym. Who plays
Jake Lacy? Isn't that the guy?
I don't
from
know his
the
name.
Office?
I always forget the name.
Isn't
sorry.
That, is yeah. Jake Lacy?
Oh, is that who it is?
Isn't that, he's from The Office, right? Isn't this dude from The Office?
I think so. Isn't he the one that, like,
minute.
When
this
he...
guy actually was second gym on The Office?
I thought he was.
Yeah, like, he's the guy that starts, like, later on. It's, like, season 8 or 9
yeah,
or
like,
whatever.
Remember, like, at the end, Steve Carell leaves, yeah, and right. they were gonna set it up to continue it on with new people.
Right.
And he was gonna be... There was, like, second Dwight
right,
and second
right.
gym. He
right.
was second gym.
I just didn't remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
I just looked at him, and I'm like, that's... He looks... If you look at him and think about Jason Sudeikis, he really reminded me of, like,
he kind
of
does, though. You're right.
His, like... you know, doppelganger. And so I'm like, okay, so I got budget Reese Witherspoon, budget Jason Sudeikis. But anyway, but
yeah, there is on The Office.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that was him. So yeah, they do have some people in this movie. Definitely. So she goes and we find out the plane that she's planning on taking is a bus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so she's taking this bus ride and the problem I had too with this is she really that clueless?
I know, like,
where's the call button?
Or is that just accentuated? I know
I
they're trying to make
class
her out
of wine.
Well, because that's not about class. That's about just being dumb,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's like, she's got to know that, like, a bus doesn't have a stewardess. Like,
right.
like she's never seen a movie.
Right.
Or a TV
I'm gonna
show.
Have to go or with Lindsay on this. Yeah. Back to writing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's somebody who just doesn't understand.
Yeah. It bothered me. And then the other thing is, she has $100. If she thinks she can buy a glass of wine and, like, it's plane price. She's already going to spend $10 to $12
yeah,
over $100
right.
on the wine. So
that
like,
was that, my thought too. As I was like, the wine ain't going to be free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just like the again, and it's just these little things you pick up when you watch so many movies mm-hmm. like yeah. we do. And again, it's probably not going to ruin it for the masses, but it's just like this character doesn't make sense, and
yeah.
and the writing is just not. Yeah. If you think about it. So right. obviously you have to check out if you're going to enjoy this one.
Yeah. I mean, I usually do on these type of movies.
Yeah. And I actually kind of like the sass of the older woman that
yeah.
she was sitting next to.
Yeah.
She's like, are you looking for something? Like the call button? She's like, oh, by the way, but just so you know, it's like, it's my first. She's like, no, really?
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Didn't pick up on
it
that.
Was great line delivery too. Like,
yeah.
she, like no. it, I was like, I want to watch her movie.
Yeah.
No,
where's
the best
actor?
Where's her spinoff?
Like, yeah. what are you doing in Snow Falls, ma'am?
she had a whole setup for like crocheting or knitting or whatever she was doing.
She came prepared. She,
yeah.
she knew there was
the
no
trip.
Wine. There was no,
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
So when she leaves, we have the meet cute at the taxi because every Christmas movie
right.
has to have a taxi
oh,
meet cute.
Yes. Yeah, that's standard rom-com.
But
uh-huh.
you gotta have your meet cute.
But at first, so like, in the Christmas Prince, obviously, a spoiler alert, it's the prince, and it's supposed to, it's like a Trains, Planes, and Automobiles type
right.
thing where he gets in the taxi and steals it. So in this one, I'm like, well, she has a fiance already. So I'm like, this has to just be a random character. And then they talked for like more than a minute, and I'm like, oh, no, this is a meet cute at the taxi.
yeah. We already knew the fiance was a dick, Kevin. Like, they were never
as,
staying
not as
together.
Bad as it gets, though. Like,
right.
I had no idea it was that level. Like, I could understand him being like, we have tick. Okay, if you had a whole flight planned for Christmas Eve, and 3 days before, your fiance is like,
yeah,
I'm going here. I'll hopefully be back. Like,
yeah,
you'd be
like,
pissed, too.
A lot of the stuff that they use to make this guy a jerk, like, he's got every right to be upset.
He does.
Right.
And he is a jerk, don't get me wrong.
He is.
But anyone in that same situation,
yeah.
tell me you wouldn't just be like, what
okay,
are
but
you
but
doing?
But hold on, you're talking about real life people. These people can go on vacation to anywhere
right.
at any time they want, so
right.
it's not the same.
Well, she's a Harris.
Yes.
Okay. I would liken it to, though, and I for the life of me cannot remember this movie now, and y'all are going to kill me because I can't remember it. It'll come to me in a minute. But it's happened where, like, you've got the meet cute situation where you've got the one guy who's, like, super awesome and we love him. But then the other guy, like, there's nothing super objectionable about him. So they almost have to write him as super objectionable. And it almost starts to feel fake.
I well, have that exact complaint. And that's, is it Leap Year?
Oh, I was
yeah.
thinking Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, I mean, honestly,
okay, all of those work.
It's
yeah.
Every,
yeah.
Well, it's every romantic comedy ever.
Yeah, they hate each other at first.
Right.
And then there's such a serious. And then when they do basic, decent human being things, and like, oh,
right.
So sweet. Wedding Crashers. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers. Well, it's the guy that's the fiance to
Owen
the girl.
Right.
Yeah. And he's no. just, no, the guy that he's in competition with.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. He is written in that movie in such a way to make him so unlikable that you almost have no choice but to pick the guy that's going to weddings to crash them.
Right.
Like,
right.
it's a sort of interesting concept where you're basically forcing the audience to go, oh, well, he's better than that that guy. But in order to make that guy look bad enough, you have to sort of make him into a caricature of himself.
Right.
Well, okay. And it's a rom-com trope that's honestly, it's been around since the 30s.
Sure.
I think the first movie I really remember
from theaters
from theaters was It Happened One Night. Like, It Happened One Night with Clark Gable. Like, that's what they do, and it, where he's like this rapscallion. In fact, the character of Bugs Bunny is based on him in that movie.
Oh. And, I didn't realize that. Interesting.
And it won Best Picture. It's like, I think it might be the first comedy that ever won Best Picture. And it, like, it's worth watching just because, like, it is the template for 80% of all romantic comedies to this day. Okay. Like, they're forced to go on a trip together. She's rich. He's this, like, blue collar or like lower class, but he's but charming, but kind of doesn't like her. And then they hate each other and they fight, but they're forced into this journey together.
Wait. Is this the one that they happen like on a train and then they had to go spend the night and it was like black and white? We can have this conversation another time. Sorry.
But it's got two very famous scenes. It's got this is the scene where they're forced to stay in a hotel room together, but they're not married. Gasp. And
right.
And so they hang the partition down the bed.
Yeah.
So you know that they're not sleeping together.
Yes.
And then it's also got the famous scene where they're trying to hitchhike and the cars keep driving by him. And then she walks over and like hikes her skirt and sticks her legs out. And the first car is like, and like they hop in. And so
isn't that like the same premises? It's not North by Northwest, is it? When there's who's the business guy that is traveling on the train and he meets the woman?
North by Northwest, too,
that happens where
I don't look.
There's so many movies that are popping into my head with this. But like, I know, right?
But It Happened One Night is like, it is to this day, romantic comedy still steal from this movie.
Interesting.
I think the other thing, when he shows up, he's in this cab from like 1952.
Yeah.
I was like,
Chevy or something.
I'm like, is Snow Falls in Cuba? Like, what is happening?
It's also very weird that he is the manager of the hotel when the owner's away, but he fills in for taxi duty when the other guy's gout is acting up.
Yeah.
Like, how can he just go be the taxi? Well, why
would it's supposed to be such a small town that you don't need both?
I thought he owned the diner first too. When he walks into the Debbie's diner,
did you notice the one walk and talk when they're going down Main Street and of this small town? And Main Street goes on for miles.
I know.
I'm like, this isn't like a town like this. What they're portraying should be like three or four blocks of Main Street. Oh. This went on like you could see the perspective, and it didn't stop.
This is like Main Street Vancouver or something. Yeah. Like right. This is not Main Street.
And it was like old-timey and quaint, but it just didn't stop.
It was popping, basically.
And one thing I noticed, like in the scene to where she had finally gotten into the cab and was driving down one way, and I just remember seeing the store that had like a purple front of it, and they were driving this way when they like zoomed in where she was in the car, and it was like on her right side. So like filmed her going this way, like one way, and then they actually the inside was she was going
like
the other
Sherlock
way.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. I'm like, that really bothered me. I'm like, really? You're
I'm
opposite directions.
Say this right now, Kevin. You better never cheat on
me. Yeah,
right.
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 I should have
said good advice. Just all around.
I
notice everything.
So,
I can't help but notice your socks are on different feet.
Why'd you take your socks off and switch them? So,
right.
So, just real quick on this meet cute thing at the taxi, her bag gets hit by the car, her clothes go everywhere. They have this moment where he picks up an item of clothing and hands it to her, and it's like wah, wah, like this like sexy time music.
Yes,
I'm like, that didn't even look like lingerie. Looked like a blue either shawl, it had arms, I thought, or it was a dress. I'm like,
it
why
was really long. Like it was nothing skimpy.
She never wore throughout the entire rest of the film.
I was like, is this
that's funny.
Slip?
Yeah.
What did he put?
Why did they make it like I would have honestly they should have just made it a bra, right? Like that would been the easiest thing.
We've already seen her in her panty and bras, so like it's not like you're blowing our mind.
She was not wearing a bra in that first scene, guys.
Well, not now. But it's like so it's like, oh, here's this blue dress. Like they clearly wanted a different piece of clothing item,
and they didn't use it.
So I just want to make sure, because I'm like, what was that item? And also, if I'm like, if it was lingerie, she's going for an overnight trip to visit her uncle.
Thank you for saying that. That's what I was going to say. Like, why do you take lingerie for a non-sexy trip? Like, and why do you have so
she's
many
like,
bags?
I'm sorry. I thought it was Blow Falls.
Maraca. Yeah, that needs a maraca. Yeah.
So I like how you use that maraca, though.
So I was just like, and either way, then that scene doesn't work because it makes no sense why she would have that to go see.
And I think this is like, I don't feel like A Christmas Prince had these sorts. I mean, it had issues.
I think they were trying to say that, like, she's super, she needs a lot of stuff, you know? Yeah. She's really high maintenance. I think that's what they were going
materialistic
for.
Materialistic in some regard.
And I get having a lot of bags. I think they do that in, like, Legally Blonde when she travels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a fine trope. I just thought it was very weird that they played, like, sexy, like, womp-womp music when he hands her the blue thing. I'm like, what? Yeah. I rewound it because I'm like, wait, what was that? And I looked at the item. Like, there was nothing. It wasn't frilly. It wasn't.
And for, and being absolutely nothing, his face was very judgmental.
That's what I mean. It was
like, why are you so judgmental about this blue thing that's absolutely nothing? Yeah. It's a sweater. And he's like,
what the hell? Small towns, people don't wear lingerie of any kind.
Apparently, it's
too much.
Well, because it's cold, guys.
Yeah. It isn't just appropriately.
I think it's funny.
All that shaving cream snow.
All their lingerie is made of wool. I think it's weird, though. Like, this movie's supposed to be about, like, oh, small town America and, like, the big city's evil. And it's like, but, like, a lot of the people in the spot, like, he kind of
judgmental assholes.
He kind of came across like a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he was always very,
okay, well,
like,
I hate to break it to you. I've lived in a small town. They are not open-minded.
No, I'm not saying.
I'm not even saying
you're wrong, but what I'm saying is the movie's trying to send the message that, like, that's real America.
This is where we came from, and the P got to win these people over. That is quaint.
But at the same time, it's like, he's looking at her sideways because she brought us a dress to this town.
Oh, don't even get
her
me
knees might show. Oh no!
Don't even get me started about
how dare
the,
her.
Don't get me started about the Best Buy in small town America.
In a Walmart, so there was a Walmart there too.
Oh yeah,
I believe more so than the other.
We'll get there. Yeah. So she gets to the hotel, and he's like, "Yeah, I also run this hotel, and I just drive the taxi for the guy with the gout." And she's asking, "Where is Uncle Zeke? I'm here to see Zeke." And he's like, he's not here. He stepped out. And she's all, flustered, like, oh, was he not expecting me? And he's like, who are you?
Right.
And this is where she comes up with the fake name, where she uses, like, her
name's London.
Yeah, Ellie Langdon or something is her real name.
It's Langley.
Yeah.
Right? And then she was like, no, she's like Ellie Lang London.
Yeah.
That was her save.
And I kind of like, though, that he caught the save, because I thought that actually was pretty good writing, because he could have just blown over it, but, you know, he actually picked up on the, Miss Lang London. So that was pretty good.
I was sad he was in this movie. He's a good actor.
Recognized him?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You did? Okay.
He's better than this. Well, he is.
Yeah.
This was just sad for you, honestly. It was. Sad.
So they're like, Zeke, he leaves and he'll be back when he's back. So this is what sets up the whole thing where now she's stuck here.
Right.
She has very limited funds and
lots of clothes.
Well, she could just sell her clothes. Why
right.
Not in this town. Nobody wants that New York City trash. You watch your mouth.
Right.
This guy was in that you're like, you've never seen this guy. Like, he's been on two seasons. He was on a main character on The Office.
Right.
He marries Ellie Kemper on The Office. And he was also in that Christmas movie we hated so much.
Which one?
With Diane Keaton and John Goodman.
Oh, is that The Cranks?
Was
Christmas
with
the Cranks? That's Tim Allen.
That's
and,
Tim, yeah. But I think it had a name in it, though. It had like a certain
name. I know
what
you're talking about.
But he was the soldier that she like meets, and he pretends to be the boyfriend that they take back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know why I couldn't get. I have no idea. My detective skills were not working that day. But so it sets it up that
you can cheat anytime, Katie.
Literally.
Not like I'm giving her permission.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Why would you even say that?
I'm so upset now.
So this is 3 days before Christmas Eve, and so she's supposed to be leaving to Cancun or some holiday.
She's leaving on
trip.
Christmas Eve.
So the clock is ticking.
It's 3 days before Christmas, but she's in this town for like a month and a half.
It
seemed like she's got very full days.
Yeah.
She's like from
she's
got to
do
sundown.
The Christmas tea, and she's got to do the cookies, and there's baking
there's a lot.
To be learned.
She had to learn how to bake.
I know.
That scene of separating the eggs. Are you joking me?
But that's the same as the bus, though. It's to show her.
I know. How she wants to prove that she's not dumb and ditzy, but yet... But you can't
I had
have,
no
like,
idea
you
how
can't
you separated
have it both
an
ways,
egg.
I guess.
Yeah, it's, I mean...
Oh,
she's,
I'm sorry.
Are you kidding?
I was like, I wouldn't
it's
know.
It's the egg white from the rest of it.
From the yolk, yeah.
Yeah, from the yolk. Well, like, you got a yolk and the egg white.
And honestly, I'm sorry. I knew they were going to... I was like, okay, when she comes...
I'm also a millionaire heiress.
Right.
Well, when she comes back into the room, I'm like, okay, she's going to have them all sorted according to size and color or something. I'm like, I was waiting for that.
But then she just looked at it.
So, but then I'm like, oh, separating is probably like just cracking the shell and putting them in the thing. And that's what they call, like, I didn't know if it was separating from the shell. I didn't realize it was whites and yolk.
So you didn't know either.
No.
Interesting.
So clearly gender bias right here.
Right. Yeah. We know, right, but they don't.
Stop woman-splaining to us, okay?
Jeez. I mean, everybody knows how to separate the eggs.
Well, we know. It's
clearly not everybody.
Right. It's
clearly the men in this room.
In our defense, we have women for that.
Oh, boy.
This was not the podcast.
Now she's Morocco.
She was very upset doing that.
Yeah, that was an angry Morocco.
That was like, oh, fuck.
She's like, well, since you know so little about eggs, I can know a couple eggs you're not getting anywhere near.
I think that gets the Morocco. I got a little one.
There it is. So she's like, well, it's fine. I'm just going to hang out in my room and get room service. And he's like, yeah, we have a diner three blocks away.
Can we just talk about that for a second? Sure. What the hell kind of inn, bed and breakfast, etc. doesn't like, serve food?
You're a bed and breakfast.
No breakfast here.
It's in your name.
No, it's a guest house. That's actually the title. That's in the name of the place.
Okay,
it's
but when you have people
right.
staying.
I know, I totally get it.
If you have multiple people like, staying in your establishment and you have no ability
and
to
no
serve food.
Kitchen. And what? No, they even said, we don't have a kitchen. Okay, where... How do you have? Why do you have all those cups then? And why do you have all those coffee?
They brought them over for the Christmas tea.
Apparently.
The kitchen was at Debbie's diner. So
also,
she brought all the coffee mugs and everything.
She did. That's why it took so long to prepare. But also, why do you need to have Christmas tea every day? What? Who does that? Why is that a thing?
Well,
they have nothing else to do in this small town. Apparently,
right?
This place
is
around the corner. That was like three blocks.
No, that was. I think that was. Yeah, it was. So
and the only shoes she has that she bought on this trip was those stilettos. How were her not feet just killing her?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry.
He's like, yeah, there's no room service. Room service is the diner. So they walk there. It does seem like it's four blocks away, and it's Debbie's diner. And so I really thought she's like Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Well, seeing Annie McDowell in this movie, I was kind of like, oh.
I just thought she never left after Groundhog Day.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah,
that's funny. she's like, oh, I should have made a reservation again. I have no idea how life works.
Yeah,
and right. And he's like, oh, I know a person. I swear that he was gonna be the owner of this restaurant too. Like this guy just owns and operates every business.
I was like,
how can you possibly work the But they didn't do that. It's Annie McDowell.
And that's his aunt.
I know it was like the backdoor pilot for the Andy Griffith Show. It was like that.
Really?
Like it was like. So the Andy Griffith Show started as the Andy Griffith Show is technically a spinoff. Let me blow your mind. Mm-hmm. It spun off of the Danny Thomas Show, and it was an episode of Danny Thomas where he gets pulled over in a small town, and he's like, "Well, I wasn't speeding, so I want to go to court." And so then Andy Griffith is also the judge of the town, and he's like everything he wants to do in Mayberry, like to kind of appeal or state his case. It's Andy.
Andy Griffith is every position.
Yeah. he's like, well, I'm also that. And he's like, yeah.
That's why. So, yeah, I thought that's what they were going, but no. So this is his aunt's diner, and she's introduced to Annie McDowell, and I was just like, I guess she's been working, because I did go on IMDb, and she's been in some stuff, but I'm like, she's doing this movie. I guess that she is a little hard up for work, but there's people that act in this movie,
I think she's reached the point in her career where she's just a working actress.
Yeah,
right. And she's like, it's a gig, I'm gonna take it. And obviously, I don't think they needed any of them for more than like 2 weeks.
All right, really,
she's got something here.
I remember it from one of the letters that she wrote that was in the box for it. You mentioned the town Mayberry. That town is mentioned and it's one of their first locations for their stores.
Oh, is it?
That was a letter from 1981 that Ziegel wrote to Jim, said like, oh, you had such a great idea for starting our first store in Mayberry. When you said that, it totally triggered my mind.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Full Easter egg.
That was really bothering me. I was like, I need to get this out.
So while they're there talking, eating, whatever, the jukebox comes on and it's Oh Silent Night.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yes.
So, and he goes into like PTSD.
Yeah.
So we know something happened.
It's like Susquehanna hats.
What?
What? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't know if I do or not. I'm just laughing.
What was that?
I don't know what that is.
There's just randomly, Tom goes, it's a, whatever you just said. And it just said it so emphatically.
Explain
it's cracking
yourself.
Me up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's an Evan Costello routine. And I think it was also
that's
a Three.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's also a Three Stooges routine at some point. It's like a lot of those things are vaudeville things that get recycled.
Okay.
But where he's like, they send Costello out to sell these hats, this Susquehanna hats. And he's got like this container that holds hats, and it's got like 15 hats in it. And so they're like, they basically have paid up front for the hats. And so everybody he tries to sell a hat to, that they're like, Susquehanna hats. And they have some awful story about how Susquehanna hats ruin their life. And then they destroy one of the hats. And so it keeps costing them money.
Spoiler alert. I haven't seen that Abbott and Costello yet. Jeez. So he gets just triggered by this Oh Silent Night playing. So we know something bad happened while this was playing. And I mean, spoiler alert, because that's what we do. So his wife left him, and this song came on like...
Is it because he's a jerk?
Yeah, I was like, but it came on immediately after or during when she was breaking up with him. So anyway, so that's why that kind of triggers him. So I don't know what happens from here. They go back to the hotel. The whole thing is about her waiting it out at the hotel.
Yeah, she's right. There for days. Yeah. Just
well,
days.
She runs out of money.
Right.
Because then Zeke isn't there, I guess she gets charged for the room.
Well, no, she's charged for the dinner. She says she ran out of money because of dinner the night before at this tiny little diner.
But I think they charge her for the room,
too. Yeah. So
but they didn't show that till then, at the end.
No, but
she's
she
checking out.
The reason she can only stay one night, so she thought, I'm going to be here for a day. I'll have a room and I'll buy dinner. You know, whatever, she'll be out of money, no big deal. But the next day, she has to stay again, and she says, I can't pay for the room because I spent my money on dinner.
Oh.
So the room plus the dinner was her $100, and then...
I think I blacked out again.
Yeah, probably.
See, I'm thinking the same thing, because I'm also going to say, like, so if she had all of those credit cards in her bra, where did they go? Like,
she had to give them to her dad before she got on the train.
I thought she kept one. I don't know why. In my head, I thought she kept one.
Oh, she is smart enough to be like, yeah, okay, here it is, and then
right.
Be coy
maybe that's
and have
what I thought
one.
I would have done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because why, like, for being how rich is, why does she only have two credit cards?
Yeah.
Well, but going back to that, I'm pretty sure she had a stack of credit cards. Like, I think that was like, I don't think that was
like,
just
like
one.
Three or
that's
four.
True. I didn't mean to like backtrack us, but I was like, if it was me, maybe that's it. Sometimes I watch the movies and I'm like, if it was me, I would do this differently because I'm a person and not an actor that's been written to do it a certain way. So, yeah.
It's a silly movie. That's the only reason.
I get it.
So she can't. So, but the first night, is that the night of the blizzard? The great blizzard?
No, that's the second night.
Okay.
Yeah, second night.
So she stays. I guess she stays there and then.
Oh, yeah. Because she gets into bed in the water bottle thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, and she freaks out.
Yeah, so she goes to bed. Yeah, and you hear this noise. And at first, I'm
and then
like.
He judges her for her night clothes.
Yeah.
Like he's like.
Again, underdressed.
So the blue dress was bad.
Yeah.
The blue dress was bad, but like, she did have like lingerie on her.
She had a nightie.
Right. I know.
It was a nightie.
What I'm saying is the blue dress. Dress was nothing, and then she was wearing, you know, a nightgown.
Well, he's all Judgy McJudgerson about like, oh, you dressed inappropriately, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Snowfalls. I thought you had heat and indoor plumbing.
Well, they don't have a kitchen,
right?
So what can we do?
Right. There's no kitchen, so what are you asking for, really?
But they also, he also makes fun of her for freaking out about the weird noise and the furry skin of this thing in her bed. Like, that is a legitimate concern. Like.
Other guests, why were, I mean, I guess like they were because like, a woman screaming,
yeah.
And I'm like, but they were very, just like, is there anything going on?
No, you're not asking the right question.
Oh, I'm
when
sorry.
There's a guy,
oh, wow.
Judgy McJudgerson,
you're in my face.
You are asking the complete wrong question because when a woman screams like that and there's a guy in the room and he is the one that talks and says everything's all right and they just walk away, that's the problem. The guy's just like,
okay,
away.
That's small town.
There was a guy,
they all know him,
yeah,
he's a returning guest. Yes, and she's brand new.
Well, we
so,
all knew
right.
Louis C.K.
And she's wearing that crazy outfit, so it's clearly
underdressed
her fault, no matter what.
Right. I'm not thinking right. The woman screams, and the guy's like, everything's okay. He goes, just go. Like, he's just telling them, it's okay, go. It's like, well, that's not the probably the...
They don't
right.
leave. They
what
don't
message
leave,
are we
though?
Sending?
Yeah. Well, I think after he says that, too, it's when he actually shows that this is... Like your water bottle, it's a hot water bottle.
Yeah, he does.
So he,
I think
it so was he made then. Up some weird thing reason she was screaming. Okay, anyway,
no, he humiliated her.
Yeah,
humiliated.
A little bit. He was more so. Yeah. He was a jerk. It's like yeah, you got it. This was in
which
your
was
bed.
Stupid because if anyone hears that noise, was like there was a raccoon in her bed, like the sloshing noise yeah. of it, and it's furry, so like she didn't expect that.
Okay,
to be.
But I will say, like the first response is to scream and run out of the room. Like I think I would have thrown the covers back first.
And he was there very quickly yes. too. Like
they all were.
Yeah, well, because he's got the cameras in her hotel room. Probably.
Well, yeah. Well, going later into the film, we see that it's like a. Three-story, like there's like three sets of yeah. stairs here to
when
get
I
up
saw
there.
That
but
bear, I'm like, there's a camera in that bear.
That's what I thought too. I was like,
there's
what
a bear
are you so
set
happy
up
about?
It looks like a nanny cam.
Yeah, so, that's like, a nanny bear.
Yeah.
You know, I put everything through my own filter, right? And yeah. so I'm like, I have never in my life gotten into bed and there been a water bottle of any furriness or not
that's
involved. And so that would have freaked me the F out. Right? Like, it
that's
really would have.
Like,
yeah.
Well, maybe that's your own fault for never getting into bed in 1947.
exactly Tom, no, but like I seriously was like, you know, but I kind of agree with Crystal too that I wouldn't have just been like, oh, there's something in my bed, I'm gonna run. No, I would have probably been like, what the hell is that?
And like investigate and look
right.
at it.
Yeah, so
you would attack the water bottle,
right?
And then be like,
yeah,
oh,
that
no.
could happen, there'd be a flood.
right
so the next day she goes down to the front desk. Is Zeke in or why not? No, he'll be here when he gets here. Okay. And then she's like, well, I'm out of money. Is this when she says I can't
yeah.
stay again? And then he comes up with a plan to do the
yeah, now she's
going to
be a maid. Now
so she has no money, and they're going to go. They have 8 rooms to clean before 3 o'clock.
Oh, those stilettos. Who cleans in stilettos and a sweater dress?
I didn't have any problem with this.
Scene about the vacuum just really just pissed me off.
Me like, too. I was so mad.
I'm like, what? Turn the goddamn thing
she's
off. Right. Why is this
wait,
so
wait,
hard?
Yeah,
right.
Okay, listen. My 11-year-old daughter was pissed at her. She
really?
Was like, turn it off.
Right. Like, what? It's going to stop as soon as you unplug it. Maybe you don't know where the on-off switch is because you're so privileged, but unplug the thing. Like,
yeah,
it's
right.
not
But
yank
she
it.
Thinks they have wine service on a bus.
Okay,
like,
but
she's
right.
never vacuumed
a
day in her life.
If something's making a noise you don't know, you make it stop. Like, I mean, that's just
but
common
she's
sense.
An idiot.
I just, like, her just look, she was just like, oh my God.
Right,
like,
yeah,
I have no idea how to handle this. Right, like, yeah. no clue.
She's
just
a moron.
A meltdown about this vacuum.
Also, why is there a Christmas tree in the room? That
yeah.
was kind of weird.
Yeah. And there wasn't one in her room. That's not nice.
No, but they had a fireplace and they had the
oh, yeah, and then also
the swag.
And the nanny bear, too. Yeah. So they had.
But one of the ornaments was a bra on this tree.
Yes, and a shoe.
And on the lamp had pantyhose.
Yes, yeah. it did.
So this is the thing. Okay, so obviously there were drinks and empty bottles all over the room. Like, these people had a good time.
Right,
bra,
they clearly
bras,
did.
Bras on the tree or whatnot. But I'm like, but people don't take that stuff with them when they leave? Like,
yeah.
those seem like, I mean,
well,
I guess
Well, I thought they
the,
didn't leave. I thought they were just gone for the day.
Thought they were
oh, they were
just
like
it?
Cleaning for the yeah. day. That's yeah. what I thought. Yeah, yeah. Like, these people are coming
that
back
must
later.
Have been the honeymoon suite with the, yeah. that couple. They're like, we have the honeymoon And they wanted suite. To share it with children?
Oh. I don't think that's a good idea. Remember, the cat is like, oh, my hearing's bad anyway.
Yeah.
So
I know. I was like, well,
it.
That's not creepy at all.
Yeah, this old guy wants to watch
it. Yeah, he's like, I'll share your room. My hearing's not good.
Right. Probably not the best plan.
It's so weird. So anyway, they've got to clean these
My
rooms.
My sense of smell is kind of wonky, too.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
I'm obligated.
Right. Must have the maracas.
So apparently they get no rooms clean. I mean, it would have taken until 3 o'clock to clean that one room after the thing exploded.
Yeah, to clean the mess she made.
Katie
yeah.
had a great point. There's 3 floors. There's 8 rooms.
Right, like where are all of these rooms?
Yeah, I'm really starting to question their business model.
Right. So, and from the outside, it doesn't look like it's 3 stores. I mean, there's the bottom, and then there's just 2. So I don't know where this extra floor is coming
right.
from. Unless it's like the segue, like a little landing in between. So right. I don't No, but it doesn't make
yeah,
sense.
None of it makes sense at all. So
I'm analyzing way too much.
Yeah, this there's.
I
just...
think that's what happens when movies are not well written. Rather yeah. than watching the movie and getting engrossed in the story, you end up picking apart the areas that are holes
sure.
in the story.
Yeah,
and I is. Think that's probably what all of us are doing. We're sort of like picking up on the, like, well, they didn't do this and they should have, or they could have done this and they didn't, because it's almost like we would have written it better if it was us, not them. Somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems so easy. And I said it as someone that doesn't have a screenplay out there, but
yeah.
like, seriously, this past, like, it's, we ask ourselves, like, how did this get made?
Yeah, it's
how
not,
did this get
it's not that we could have done so much better. It's that, didn't anyone see that this was terrible?
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Well,
that's like, why?
Okay, but I have a theory on that. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off. You're good. No, so I have a theory on that. Like, I think that, like, and I think, Kevin, you and I might have talked about this through text briefly, that the whole Hallmark industry of, like, the Hallmark movies, they're so cookie cutter that
they
think it because of the fact that if it's on, you kind of, it can appeal to a wide range of audience watchers. So it's sort of like, if everybody's there for Christmas, oh, we can turn this on and nobody's going to be offended. It's
That's
almost
true.
Like it falls under that category.
This one and Christmas Prince too.
Yeah.
They're like Christmas screensavers for your flat screen.
Sort of.
Like,
yeah.
You could just have them on. And so now it feels Christmassy.
Right. Like, honestly, true. Before I watched it, I watched the trailer, I honestly feel like I might have been able to have a really intelligent, well, sort of quasi-intelligent conversation about the movie just from the trailer, because yeah. I feel like the trailer pretty much encompassed the entire movie.
It's pretty, I mean, you're not wrong, because it started playing after I backed out of the movie. It started auto-playing the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And so I heard all the synopsis again, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what I just watched.
Right. And so that's why it's interesting, because it's like, well, there's only so much of that that's going to have substance. But I think with as popular as the Hallmark movie industry sort of has been, it would almost, from a business perspective, make more sense for Netflix and other places that do this to have their own version of that.
Right.
But then people like us that kind of want to actually be entertained and not just sort of... It's a placeholder for a few minutes. Yeah. We kind of pick it apart.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So she gets a phone call at the front desk, and she thinks it's Zeke, and she's out of the woods here, and it's her fiance. And he's like, I haven't been able to reach you. They say they have terrible reception here, for cell phones at least. And he's making a big deal because, like, well, she's like, I'm not going to make it home. Zeke's not here yet. And he's like, but I've got my office Christmas party. And that's when...
he do, by the way? That's what I want to know.
He's fancy.
He wears a suit.
Yeah,
and he's right. He was like, that's how you get a deal
business
done.
Man.
I'm like, what deal?
Businessman.
Yeah. He's in business.
He's in business. Come on.
Just like Home and Hearth sells... Gifts.
They're in the gifts and the multi-million-dollar gifts industry.
Gifts from the heart.
And it's like, I love when they act like they created some like brilliant idea. We're going to start this business and we're going to sell gifts.
Right.
Right. We're the first ones to done it.
Yeah. It's silly. But so yeah, we saw that he like the woman that's trying to find her in the beginning that yells in the middle of her perfect backflip that screws her up. She's trying to find her in the beginning. And that's when he's like, wait. Oh, I closed the deal. So he's very businessy, very jerky in that way. And he's like, you need to come to my office Christmas party. And she's like, no, I can't. And so this is when I really was like, okay, she's trying to inherit a multi-million-dollar business, mm-hmm. and he's worried about her being at the Christmas party. Like, she's got some important things going on here.
Oh,
like,
she's a girl, Kevin. Right. She's a girl.
She's not as important. Right.
Just at this point, I'm like, you're an idiot, because if they're engaged.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're going to marry this woman. You want her to inherit that multi-million-dollar gift company, right? You should probably not worry about your office Christmas party, because if she doesn't do this, she doesn't get the company.
Well, but that's when he's trying to be controlling. That's where we had to be controlling.
But, you know, there's a flip side of that of where it's like you could just as easily paint that as like he's a nice guy who he's like
until he brings up Karen.
Well, yeah.
Karen accounting.
I'll remember her. To get back at her. He's like, fine, I'll just take you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a total...
He wasn't a nice guy.
No.
Right?
That was a dick move.
I'm not saying he was nice, but I'm just... my larger point was that like he's like, oh, I want you at my Christmas party. I want to spend time with you.
It seemed totally...
Not the way he was delivering that. What about my grandma party?
Yeah.
It's so important.
It was less about wanting her there and more about how it was going to look if he was there without her.
He said he wanted to make a big entrance.
Yes.
Because he wants some of that arm candy. He wants to be like associated with that.
Yeah.
Right. She looks good in a red dress.
She does. Right.
So it's like, okay, well, you can grow up and be a man. Yeah. Like you don't need your woman to go to your office Christmas party.
It was selfish, clearly, and it was just stupid because you want her to inherit this multi-million-dollar company. Let her deliver the letter. There will be more Christmas parties, right?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of a stupid thing on his part. But yeah, so he's like, oh, I'll take Karen from accounting, and she knew exactly, like, you know, obviously she knows who Karen is, and
I remember Karen.
Exactly.
Karen has clearly been a boner of contention. Boner of contention?
I think that's fair in this. I think that's fair in this one.
That was a mini Morocco. Little baby one.
Well, you haven't seen his boner.
You know, I'm going to let you keep that to yourself. Yeah.
So it looks like this one's getting the E next to it. I don't have time to edit all this out. Enjoy, listeners. So after the, obviously she can't clean rooms anymore, so I guess she goes to help out Debbie at the diner.
Right.
And that's where the egg situation comes.
Yeah.
Right.
She's trying to give this girl some work to do, and she says, here's a whole bucket of eggs, separate them. She goes out to start bussing the tables, and meanwhile, she's just like,
staring at the
she
eggs.
She just can't, she's like having a breakdown. She just can't figure out how to do this. Yeah. And yeah, it's very pouty. Yeah.
Well, actually, and how she actually even really came to be going to the diner was because she was trying to tell this new guy, that the owner of the manager, whatever his name is, that she was actually a baker. And again, she really did not know how to figure out a job, like just like a random job. And so that's why she got sent there. And it's like the AM's like, oh, you know how to bake? I'll start on this and you start on this really complicated
thing. So she just
thing.
Made that up, though, the baker?
Yeah.
She's never done anything.
Because they didn't have a kitchen and there was like a magazine laying there or something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a good thing I'm not a, you don't have a kitchen. Because that's really what I would really, I'm a baker. Like,
yeah, she was going all Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, but you can go to Debbie's place and help out.
Yeah.
And that's how she, okay.
Yeah.
So while she, while Debbie is bussing the table, she looks up and there's a picture of the father.
Mm-hmm.
Her father, Ellie's father, actually used to date Debbie before, back in college or high school or whatnot. And then he met the mom and they went off
Nora.
And got married. So she looks at this picture and the mom looks exactly like Ellie.
Because it's her.
Is it her? I figured it was probably me.
So I'm like, that's exactly.
It probably is. I thought,
either that or Reese Witherspoon.
Exactly.
Right. It could have been either or.
Yeah.
But also that means this. The premise of this film hinges on he grew up in this town. He would go to this town, and now this town reveres him. His business is this town's claim to fame.
Yeah.
And if he sends his daughter back, nobody's gonna know who she is.
Yeah, that really bugged me.
Yeah,
that is a good point.
And they even say that they used to go to this town all the time until her mother died. Her mother died, according to them,
10 years ago.
10 years
when she
ago.
Was a teenager.
Yeah.
So when she was like 16,
right?
How would no one not recognize her?
I mean,
and realize?
Come
right?
On.
She would have been,
especially with being a spitting image. I mean, she noticed too. She looked at the little girl and looked at the mom.
Right,
like, that's the same person.
And let's talk about how poorly those photographs were edited.
Well,
too.
Clearly,
oh
my
God, the photos of like the two business partners.
I know.
Oh my God, well, they were just awful.
At this point, we hadn't seen Zeke yet, and I thought they were brothers. So when I saw the dad and they
like,
went over
what?
To Zeke, I just did like a double take, and then I was like, oh, they're doing that. Like, they don't have to explain it. Like, it's 2017, they're brothers, and it, for whatever reason, adoption, you know, it just it doesn't matter. So I was just like, wait a minute, what? Okay, that's the Netflix is playing that card, but they're not apparently, so that was just my mistake. So Debbie knows it, and she goes into the kitchen, and Ellie's all depressed over the eggs, and this is when she's like, you look just like your mother. So she's
in on it.
She's in on it.
Figured it out.
And she's keeping the secret, though. So and this is when she gives the dirt on Jake and what happened with him. So she says the reason why he's so, the way he is and depressed and the Silent Night thing is that his wife left him, and that song came on during it. And that's there's your background.
He's wounded because he got broken up with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a gentle soul.
Or a pussy.
Either one.
Well, he was married. It was a little more than broken up with. I mean,
sorry,
I don't know
Kevin.
If you've ever been divorced, but
yeah,
the wife was like in finance and left him for one of her clients.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
And
it was something fancy in New York too.
Negative in New York. Like if you're from New York, you're bad.
Negative just New York. I mean, that's their new slogan. Negative New York.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, they were at like a fancy dinner, and she's like in the middle of it, just out of nowhere. She said, "It's over," and I couldn't believe it. Like, he was really just really distraught about it, which I can understand.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's kind of weird that
in the middle
why would
of
you do
dinner.
That? Yeah, that's pretty odd.
That's a I weird just think thing.
He
needs
so
therapy.
He doesn't make a scene. You take him to a fancy restaurant and dump him.
Oh, is that the
scene.
Play?
Yeah.
Should I expect anything?
When would I ever go to a fancy restaurant?
Oh, good. I'm safe.
By fancy restaurant, I mean Crystal making food in the, like, those bacon things. I just always see Crystal, like, when we do the podcast, there's always, like, the week's breakfast made or whatever. It's probably as fancy as it gets, I'm guessing.
That's
pretty much it.
But that's what he likes, so.
Totally. They look delicious. I've never been offered one, just saying.
Oh, wow.
That's not passive aggressive at all.
No.
Right. No, not at all.
Because it's my breakfast.
She's cooking. She's not cooking for you.
Yeah. So, okay. So
Back to it.
So at this point in time, so he takes her for a walk, and this is where she's like, "What, outside?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he says, "You're not dressed appropriately."
No, down the hallway.
Yeah, and he's like, "You're not dressed appropriately." When she's in, I mean, I realize maybe it wasn't like she was an Eskimo, but I'm like, she's pretty bundled up.
Right,
like,
yeah.
She had a scarf and a coat on.
And it was a long coat, too. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean,
in the Christmas print, she wears a trench coat or a raincoat or something in the middle of winter and snow where you're
but
like.
But that was in Romania, so it's a completely different thing.
No, that was still in New Chicago.
New Chicago.
That was in New Chicago York. And everyone else is bundled up in like mittens and like they look like Ralphie, you know?
Right.
And she's walking around in just like a brown like trench coat. Like a fall or whatever. Yeah. So she's bundled up and he's like, oh, put on some clothes or whatever. I'm like, that just does. It's the same thing as looking at the blue dress and being like, whoa, sexy time or whatever. It's like, what? Are your eyes working? Like the script doesn't work with what they're.
His wife was probably trying to break up with him for years, and he just couldn't pick up on it.
He was too dense to see it.
Yeah,
I still haven't received my paycheck.
Right,
you know, like he's been fired for 10 years. Yeah. It's like that kind of thing. So he takes him out and walks her into this row of gorgeous ice sculptures. And she's like, and I'm thinking, like, are you really gonna make it? He made all these, and he's like, no, I just designed them. The college kids made them. These
Where
professional,
is this college, by the way,
high end, like super
in
artistic, detailed.
Okay.
This
the
small
local college is in New
yeah,
York.
The small town community college kids though made these beautiful, elegant ice sculptures.
And meanwhile, he's giving a speech about how we've got the big Christmas auction, and I don't know what we're gonna get auction off there.
Yeah, maybe your college kids should make a Picasso and auction. It off like
or the ice sculptures that you're walking by. Right. We got plenty of stuff here, dude.
Those are just for the lovely walk outside.
And they never apparently. Do use them.
No, they never circle back around the ice sculptures.
And they're like in this like this really random walkway too. Like you take like this whole trail and then they're just kind of just boom.
It's like
there.
In the forest, it was a cleared path with like beautiful ice sculptures.
And then the path went farther down below, like right past
it
them.
Was,
there
it
was just nothing there. Just like these little sculptures and that was it.
When he said the college kids made them, I'm like, what kind of art program? I mean, Snow Falls has like the elite.
It's like, it, you know, I mean, they have to do that with like chainsaws. So it's like the country program. Yeah. The country art program.
I don't think you made those details with chainsaws.
Well,
you
got to start with
that's
the rough
a chisel.
Cuts. You got to start with the rough cuts, though.
There you go. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. True. So after this, she realizes that there's this charity auction type thing going, and we already know she's a philanthropist. She's trying to raise the money for Toys for Tots, so we know she's got that in her spirit, and she's sitting here waiting for Zeke with nothing better to do, so she is going to get items for the silent auction. I don't know if I've missed anything, but I know this is coming up here sometime.
I think we're good.
So she goes around to all the businesses, basically like a mobster to some of them, and is like bullying people into donating. She's got cookies that she's baked with Debbie, and she's trading them, and most people are into
They're little Debbies.
There you go. Because
they were little gingerbread people, too.
So I thought this was funny, though. She goes to the art gallery, like the upscale art gallery, and the guy gives her some huge painting for a jar of cookies. So I'm like, that seems a little ridiculous.
Also, it was already gift wrapped, which was weird to me.
I figured,
are you going to make a bid on something you haven't
seen?
It wasn't a mystery auction. It was a silent. I thought the same thing. Why would you not have it on display? Why would you gift wrap it?
Because they wouldn't have had a way to give us the picture. They needed to show us that he gave her something, and they didn't have any art.
That's too much detail.
it's so bad. I thought, like, well, why is it wrapped up? So the guy gives her that. Okay, she goes to a clothing store and gets a dress off the mannequin there, gives the jar of cookies. Then she basically goes to Best Buy. She goes to a computer store. And the small town has this, like, it looks like the interior of a Best Buy. It's not like, you know, Bob's Tiny Computer Shack. It is... I mean, you were talking about iMacs and iPods, gift cards in the background. They just went to some electronics store and filmed this. And she's just like, yeah, give me something. And he's like, no, I don't do that. I pay my tax. Like, clearly this guy doesn't want to donate. She strong arms him. Literally, like, she...
I love how everybody's willing to give except for, like, something modern.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The big box guy won't do it.
Something modern and big city is too good for it. I'm just like, oh, this is something.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, I don't know if you know about markup on electronics, but this guy who ends up, by the way, giving up like a brand new iMac, the profit margin is not like...
great
$2,000 on this $2,200 computer. Like, he probably sells that and makes $100. So mm-hmm. this is a small town. This guy is the only electronics store, and she forces him to give away a brand new iMac. I just thought that was so crappy of her to do that. I just, like, that's wrong to make someone. She's like, oh, it's the right thing to do. Like, she gets really catty about it. And I'm just like, that's so
very
crappy.
Self-righteous.
Yeah, when you're trying to get donations for charity, it just seemed really messed up. And we'll get into it later when she talks about all the gifts. She shows her dad later all the gifts, and they're all handmade from local communities, like that iMac I just thought, oh, that's again writing. It's just like, oh. So she gathers up all these things. She gets a whole carload of them. She's got things strapped on the top of the car. It's like Debbie's station wagon. She's letting her drive around in to collect them. And then she ends up at the hotel, and I think this is when the fiance comes to.
Yeah, so the fiance, because they have a moment where he's hugging her.
Oh, he says thank you for going.
Jake, yeah.
All the items.
Right. Really long hug too.
It was a very lingering hug.
I did skip over. So the night before, I think at the ice sculptures, they had a moment.
Right,
they were talking. And
even then, the hug was like she should call HR.
Well, yeah, but clearly. She tries to play it off like, oh, I was just thinking about, like, clearly they have some tension.
Right. Yeah, almost kissed just the night before.
Right.
The other thing that
she's like, in small town America, you thank someone by a dry hump.
Oh.
Okay. There's no maraca here. So you're just getting some freebies in.
He's trying to get them in while he can.
Right, right.
So I also thought what was kind of hypocritical was, I know that the fiance is a D-bag, whatever, but she has the conversation with Debbie about this guy's so sad because his wife broke up with him. And I'm like, this is exactly what you're going to do to the fiance.
Nobody cares that this woman is engaged.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
nobody,
I know.
Like, she is not a secret. She's got a ring
big
on.
Big old rock on.
She mentions it repeatedly about her fiance. Nobody in this town, everybody's kind of like, oh, but you and Jake.
Yeah. Yeah, the Debbie is like, you know, oh, what's up? And he's like, no, it's nothing. I'm not even interested anyway. Like, no one's even like, why would Debbie be trying to set up an engage? She doesn't know the fiance is a jerk.
Right.
It's like everyone's trying to be matchmaker with these two, and she's engaged. So I just thought it was interesting that Debbie mentions how terrible the ex-wife is for breaking his heart. And I'm like, you're going to do that in like a scene or two. Like, I just knew it was coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, so it's justified because he's a jerk, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But I'm like, it's kind of hypocritical to be telling that story. And then,
yeah,
what are you trying to set up here? You know, that fiance isn't going to feel too good about it. He'll probably be depressed for 5 years now. You know?
And see, this is where romantic comedies are no longer fun for me to watch as a therapist, because I immediately go, okay, so if the relationship ends and they both need to take some time to figure out what they need, and they need to be able to heal from it before they can actually start another relationship. So, like, I start to psychoanalyze it, and I'm like, okay, that's not really what this is intended for. Like, just enjoy the movie,
but
whatever.
Still, I'm not a therapist, and I'm thinking the same thing.
Okay,
like,
well, I'm glad to know I'm not alone.
No,
okay,
I mean, but she's engaged, and I like that she kind of stops it, and they back up or whatever, but it's like, this clearly is going to go somewhere,
right.
And then she breaks up with him and then goes to be with this guy, and it's like, you just got out of a long-term engaged relationship,
right?
That day you're leaving to go, it just very odd the way
the emotional the emotional baggage that creates a whole lot more than what the writer staff would want you to believe, sort of.
Exactly.
And so
well, the Christmas Prince, I mean, I don't want to spoil the ending, but the way that they get together, so it's like,
They've literally known each other 2 weeks, and he's really only known
her
as a fake identity. And then, like,
happily ever after.
Yeah.
So
the fiance is like, clearly he picks up that, like, there's some heat.
Yeah,
here.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so,
he's not very nice to the guy.
Right.
And they talk about it when she's like, okay, just go up to the room and lay down. Oh, we missed the big blizzard. There was a big blizzard the night before, and everyone in the town is taking shelter. Even the homeless guy that they saw during their walk the night before. So everyone's changed rooms, and she has a family staying in her room. So she brings the fiance to go take a nap, drops him off at the door. He walks in. And I just thought it was so awkward the way that he didn't say anything. So, like, the woman is in there with her kids.
Right.
And they're just playing around. She's like, can I help you? And for, like, a half a minute, he just is, like, looking at them. And I get you're trying. It's supposed to be surprise, but that's creepy as hell. Like,
he should have been like, oh, random guy opens the door to your hotel room.
I would immediately go and lock the door then after that.
Would a normal human being not go, oh, yeah, I'm Ellie's fiance.
Right.
Yeah. This is her room. She told me to go, like... that's the writing again where you're just come on.
I'm telling you, like, and I hated to be that person, but I'm like, I really hope I don't get there tomorrow and they're like, this is the greatest movie ever. I didn't expect that, but I was like, yeah, because I'm not loving it. I gotta be honest.
No, that's what we do. So anyway, obviously there's the tension there between the fiance and Ellie about that, and yeah, and because of Jake. And so later on, whatever happens, I don't know, but they go to the Debbie's to have a drink. Jake's all bummed out, I think, because the fiance is there basically, and
yeah,
and you know, he knows that he can't be with Ellie, and the fiance is bummed out because he's stuck there, and he knows that they're missing things back home. They've got a trip to go on. So they start drinking and they're having this conversation together, and the fiance is just
outs who she
is. He's just like, you really don't know who she is? You think she's just some baker? And says the whole thing. So he goes to his Apple computer because he got it from the donation guy, you know, this high tech computer in this little town, and he starts doing some research, and he what is this? It's not a Google search, it's like a what's this
right
search. It's Ask Jeeves.
So, yeah, so
right, basically
is, and that's when he does the search on her and brings up all those articles I was talking about early, and he watches a video about her doing the gymnastics of the Toys for Tots. So obviously it's a big deal, and he's mad about that. So the fiance has said, like, we need to go, or we're going to miss our trip. Forget about this stupid town. And that obviously becomes a bone of contention. And she's like, I will leave in the morning.
What of contention?
He did not say boner of contention.
Yeah, that's right. But this episode is boner of contention.
Right.
So she says, if Zeke is not back by the morning, we will leave. I will leave the letters for him at the front desk, and that will be
well, because he wants to go on the vacation. They've already bought plane tickets. They're going to Hawaii. Like, this isn't a crazy request.
This is the part where, again, like, I know this guy's a jerk, but still, it is reasonable, you know.
But I think Crystal has a really good point, though, that if they are people that have money, I mean, we are not in all of the people around this table, unless some of y'all have won the lottery and I don't realize it. Yeah. If we plan a trip, we're going to want that trip to happen because there's going to be a lot of expense occurring if we don't make it happen.
Well,
in the case of them, I don't know. I have trouble buying that.
Even beyond the money, though.
It's his Christmas vacation.
I mean, like,
true.
They've made this plan to go, and it's completely disrupted because the dad's like, hey, go on the scavenger hunt to prove you're worthy of my company.
It's a ridiculous premise. If anyone's fiance's dad did this, you'd be pissed.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way you'd be like, oh.
Also,
let's just
keep in mind everything about that, the motivation for this little scavenger hunt she's been sent on is that, like, oh, you need to learn about the value of family and commitment and the holidays.
So leave your family.
So,
right.
So leave the guy you're marrying and don't go on the trip that you already have planned. Also, don't spend Christmas with your father, your widowed father.
The father that is getting out of his yearly trip to go see his partner.
Like, what's our message again?
It's very
flummoxed.
I'll just all for one. You just have to be out for yourself, basically.
Raul Julia agrees.
He's not happy either.
No. So basically in the morning, obviously Zeke isn't there. I took a note. I'm like, where is it? 1 hour. I know I've got the note in here. So, 1 hour, 22 minutes. I said, where the fuck is Zeke? Is there a Zeke? I'm like, show up?
I don't think there was.
Yeah, because like,
until we saw the picture, I thought Zeke was going to be the homeless guy.
Yeah.
Big test.
That actually would have been a better movie.
It would have, and you're giving way too much credit to the writing at that point.
Yeah. So
that was my initial thought, the same thing.
So she goes to check out, and Jake is very mad about the lies. I also thought, too, I'm like, is every Christmas story basically about a woman that's lying to, like, weasel her way into somewhere, and then the love interest, like, gets mad that she's been lying? We're so close to the Christmas Prince, mm-hmm. where I'm like, she was lying about being a reporter, and then, you know, the prince finds out, and
Not all Christmas movies are like that, no.
Okay.
These just both happen to be really bad.
So I'm just like, maybe every Hallmarky type movie is this exact.
They've gotten pretty cookie cutter in the last few years, but they didn't always used to be like this.
Gotcha. Okay. So anyway, he's mad about it, and he's like, oh yeah, by the way, here's the bill for your room. The bill for the room she's been working her ass off to pay for.
Right.
Like, I get that he's like, yeah, you're rich, I know your identity, but still, like, she worked.
Okay, but Kevin, it's been 3 days and she baked cookies. Like, let's calm down.
She got
and
she tea. Christmas she tea. Made Christmas tea.
And she did clean in stilettos. So, I mean,
that was a chore in
that
itself.
That show alone is worth
That's a different kind of fee.
Yeah, she was in a dress doing it too, so it's true. It's just easier.
I thought it was kind of crazy. I get his point he's making about her being able to pay for it. He goes, "Are you going to pay for it, or is your rich dad or whatever going to pay for it?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Oh, I know you're the holiday heiress or whatever, the party gifts heiress.
We may not have service, but we have the internet."
Yeah. And that's the other thing I thought too. So I actually have a note on it. I'm like, okay, so there's no phone service here, right?
Right, but he can still.
But he has five bars of Wi-Fi and a high speed internet connection. Maybe he should have offered that to her for her cell phone so she could contact the outside world.
Right.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
It would make too much sense.
But he's like, "We don't get any service. She can't reach her fiance around the holidays. They've got plans and all this."
They could have instant messaged.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't
exactly,
matter.
She could have
Wi-Fi called, even on the extreme.
He's an abuser. He's trying to isolate her.
Yeah.
So it's the first step.
So, I can't believe he mentioned it, because I go, this isn't going to come up that he has this high-speed internet. And then he goes, "We may not have cell service, but we have high-speed internet." I'm like,
well, okay. He didn't say high-speed. He just said internet. But still.
I'm like, they actually... Yeah, yeah. Owned up to it too, because someone I guess asked a question for the first time in the script, like, "Wait a minute, they said you can't contact anyone."
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just bizarre. So he saw the video, he outed her, they're all depressed, and she goes, I'll just leave the box of letters, and he's like, "Nope, sorry, this sign that's been behind the front desk the whole time, that's like the center of all their shots,
right?"
Management is not responsible for valuables. He's like, "Check the sign," and
these letters are too important to this town.
Yeah.
And stuff like,
and this is too where we're gonna find out later what that means, but I'm like, wait, the guys just read the letters, like, why would
how would the whole town know about what every single one of those letters, how would they be that important?
Well, how does she not realize that one of the letters is missing yet?
Exactly. And she read through all of them.
She read them all.
How would she know that there was, I just don't
I guess
it.
That's the thing,
because it was this year's, and she just didn't put two and two together.
Okay. Because it's not like
she is
first,
dumb, so
at first I thought someone snagged that letter.
She's dumb every other scene.
It was her time to be dumb. And
So anyway, they leave. She puts the letters in her purse. She drives off with the fiance, who's a big D-bag. And she goes, "Oh my gosh," she realized she doesn't have that letter, and we have to turn around. And the fiance is like, "No, we're going to miss our flight." Again, I think he's a huge jerk. I'm not, but I think he's being reasonable.
Yeah.
That's all.
He's like, "Okay, we've done this thing. You did your part.
We missed all this stuff for three days. Like, we need to go catch our flight." And that's where she... I don't know if he says something else, but at that point, she's just
He
like,
called him stupid, and he was just pretty...
Yeah, he was being a real jerk.
He was hateful.
He is a jerk, for sure.
Yeah.
And they pull over at a gas station to get gas, and she just takes the ring off. And
luckily, that bus was there.
Yeah.
Going right back to town. Back where she came from.
Right.
A small town that doesn't have that much service, but yet this bus is at this very moment.
Every half hour
stopped for gas 30 minutes outside of this town.
I mean, I think that makes sense. Yeah. I think that's
it's a rest stop. I mean...
Yeah.
Again, 30 minutes outside of its final destination.
I mean, why didn't she stop there on the way to the town?
Exactly.
That was not shown.
So she leaves. She takes off the big ring, gives it back to him. Obviously, they're broken up. He's like, "What are you doing?" And she goes on the bus to make this dramatic entrance. Flash forward, we're at the silent auction at the Christmas party. There's some random singer we've never seen before.
Boy,
that wasn't very good
either. She really commits to Jingle Bells.
Yeah, it was
like
she was trying way too hard.
I was like, was she singing Jingle Bells? Like,
that's why I was like, is this Mariah Carey or something?
Yeah.
Like, her interpretation of Jingle Bells was like
awful.
It was big. Like, she was really
she did it big and terrible.
This is my moment.
Yeah, it was.
It was like the coronation song from American Idol.
She was given a big part for not being seen for the entire rest of the movie.
I really thought she was like somebody.
She was
a random person.
We've never seen her, but I'm like, that poor whoever that is. Like, that was their big break. Like, she really was giving it everything she had for that scene.
Someone give me.
I have to give her credit for that.
Yeah, I do.
That rendition was so. They're at the party, and all of a sudden, so she walks in, and the Jake's like, "What are you doing here?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Is your boyfriend or is your fiance in the car? Isn't he going to miss you?" And she's like, "Nope," and shows the hand.
She just brushes it off.
Like, you know, she just broke up with her fiance,
and she's good with it.
Yeah, and he's like, whatever, cool. And then they're talking, and some people walk by, and
real quick, as an actress, if you're gonna have the scene where you hold up your get your nails done. What's going on there?
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that. No.
Tom's the only one that noticed the nails.
Like, she didn't have her, like, it was just like, what is, like,
they wanted to make her seem more down to earth and not have her nails
all done. Oh, cuz she's been doing dishes and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's hard.
And cleaning and making cookies.
There's no way there was that much attention paid to continuity.
This movie,
no way it started in the last scene.
Or maybe that is speaking more to the budget of the movie and that they didn't have the $35 or whatever dollars to get them done for that one scene.
Yeah.
But you're right, Crystal. I mean, like, soap and dish soap does not hold on to acrylics very well. It really just breaks down the glue.
This town is so small, there are...
A few moments later.
Oh!
And then there's that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord.
So he brushes her off, and then Santa Claus comes in, and they stay very far away from the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so at first, I'm like, why are they not showing you what the Santa Claus looks like?
Could they not afford the rights to Santa Claus?
And so he's...
Well, yeah, and also before they show the Santa coming out in front of everybody, it's supposed to be for the kids, and nowhere in the audience. I'm like... Where the hell are all these kids? And
even Sydney said that.
Yeah.
And it was all adults like, yeah, Santa.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, when, like, all kids come up, and there's a whole line that's like, where were these kids at?
They
and
who do they belong to?
In the back? Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. Like,
so he
who birthed you, and where did you come from? Yeah.
They just walked out in all their Christmas clothes.
Yeah.
He does his whole spiel, and then he's like, oh, and look at this. We got a very special announcement, and it's a letter. And he's like, it's our annual letter from whatever Jim Longer. I don't know what these characters are.
Langford.
There it is. And talk, you know, our annual letter. So here you're like, oh, wow, they read these letters out loud every year. I, you know.
No, this one specifically, he was instructed to read out loud for this special guest that they have in their town.
Oh, but they talk about these letters are so important to the town, so they would have
it's
to
true.
Have done it.
Apparently but everyone knows about it, true.
But they kept the letter. So the big surprise is she didn't lose it. The dad's there. Like she turns around, the dad's there, they're reading the letter, and you zoom in and the Santa's black, so you're like, okay, that's right. Zeke from the photo. I mean, it's not just a random, you know, it's like, okay, so that's why they kept so far away.
Yeah,
because you're not supposed to be like, oh, that's Zeke in the Santa outfit,
right?
So they zoom in on him and he's reading this whole letter about, this is where I started and this is so important to us and this town and everything, and now this company is getting handed over to my daughter. Like, so this whole thing was a ruse to get her to show that she was a good person, and she left, but, you know, they knew she would come back to accept this position. So it was a whole setup.
Yeah.
And why didn't they let the son-in-law-to-be know that? Like, that would have been a good thing to
right?
know.
Right.
Like, yeah. So the whole thing was fake, though. Like, he sent her on this fool's errand to test her worth, you know? And so I guess no one else was in on it because...
So, like, every man in her life is an asshole.
Yeah, like, manipulates her in some regard.
Right. Yeah. Yes. The dad wants to be able to trust her, but, like, how is she going to be able to trust him now?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
This has to be
She'd
so
be like,
unhealthy.
I'm in charge of the company. Dad, you're fired.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, but well, it was for a good cause. Chuckle, chuckle.
You need to learn a lesson because you're an adult and apparently we're going to treat you like a child.
Well, good, thing she, good thing she passed the test and owns the company because she bid $1 million on a Santa.
Yeah.
Like, I took that as, like, her company is paying $1 million for that Santa.
True. She better come through on that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully she does.
So that's that, and everybody's happily ever after. She gets the company. I guess she probably
and the new man.
She gets the new man. Yes, don't forget him.
Yep. I love when these movies where, like, the message is supposed to be it's not about the money, but then when the happy ending comes, it's about you get the money.
You get the company and the money.
Yeah.
You still get the money. Yeah.
Which I feel like sends an interesting message to people watching it, that, you know, this idea of, like, you have to work hard to get big rewards, and it's like, okay, so you work hard for 3 days?
Yeah.
And you get
millions
of
dollars.
But it
felt like a month.
Right.
It did.
Really, to those of us watching,
it felt like
insufferable. However,
And she was already doing the work at the company.
Right.
Yeah, like, this, made no
yeah.
this made no
she
sense.
She wasn't incompetent. She was doing the job.
She showed up in the morning, early morning, after...
Before her dad got
the
there.
Yeah. And so, and this is the part where she's like, Dad, let me go show you these one-of-a-kind gifts from local shops. like the iMac 27-inch computer.
And I thought that the cliche line that Jake put in, that then when they're slow dancing, is this the part where we're supposed to kiss?
Yes!
I may have zoned. I don't even...
Really?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with getting consent.
Clearance, right. Yeah. Consent matters.
These days, consent is super important.
However, I feel like I was not giving my own consent to watch this movie in that I sort of did it unwillingly. But no, I in watching it, though, also I kept thinking, you know what? As much as this doesn't work as a movie, and I'm not sure that it would work in this way either, but you could have condensed that like hour and 44 minutes that it was required to watch it and do it in like a 20-minute sitcom. Like,
yeah,
I really think you could have probably solved most of these issues like that quickly. That's
also
just my thought.
Tom pointed out, who the hell slow dances during Silent Night?
Yeah.
Like, how is that a
thing?
Oh,
and the big revelation is that now he listens to it on purpose because he's moved on.
Well, because now she has given him a reason to enjoy the song.
But they're
the song
slow
now.
Dancing to Silent Night.
And it's not just them. Weird. They're all dancing.
Everybody.
And also, I know it's a little tidbit because apparently I'm really observant of this movie.
Yeah.
They had like they didn't know how to coordinate the slow dance. Like, they were like trying to figure out how to hold each other's hand and like where to, like, they didn't coordinate that very well either.
Yeah,
I don't think any of the music matches the reality either. I mean, earlier we saw the homeless guy playing the harmonica and he was in the back like just like totally jamming out, and they have like harmonica music going in the background.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's a mess. But
I missed that.
And this
part.
Is where Katie, you weren't paying attention at all.
Apparently.
And this is where you get your scene with two women dancing.
Yeah.
Like, it's right as it's fading out, the lower right-hand corner, you see two women dance.
See, now I have to go back and watch it just to see that. So.
Well, that's why I was hoping you find where it's at.
I know, right?
It's like, as they're fading out, you can see.
I believe it. Yeah,
you know what? No, you don't. I'm pretty sure you got the idea.
Right. I don't know that I'll do it soon.
Yeah.
At some point, I might. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Whatever you say.
So that is Christmas Inheritance.
Not the Christmas Inheritance.
Just Christmas Inheritance. Right. It's the only streamlined thing in the entire movie.
I would recommend this over The Christmas Prince. That's
not
just,
me.
That's my...
I'd go with The Christmas Prince because it's shorter.
I'm really glad y'all included me in this.
Yeah,
this is hilarious.
Thank you for
absolutely
joining us.
So
oh my
fun
gosh,
time.
Yes.
Hopefully listeners had as much fun as we did nitpicking apart this, you know, not Hallmark movie.
Right. So we go around the table and everybody says where to find them if you want to say where to find yourself.
Sure. Facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe or Twitter at ClipOutCrystal.
So I am Lindsay Walden. I guess the easiest way right now to find me would just be facebook.com/Lindsay Walden, or you can just search Lindsay Walden. I'm public on there as a figure, so I'm pretty easy to find.
And I'm just a simple nobody. Just the wife of Kevin. I'm Katie.
Just the wife of Kevin. That's a big deal.
Did you not watch this movie?
Yeah.
Katie, you're more than that.
I know. So much more than that.
Now we got to go to my office Christmas party. Let's hurry it up, toots. So I'm Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett or ReviewSTL.com.
And I'm Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to chime in about your thoughts about Christmas Inheritance, please join us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. Or you can even go to our website, although you can't really talk there. And that's realspoilers.com. So that's it for this episode. We're so spun around with when we're recording these things. I have no idea what's coming up after this one.
I mean, I think we're recording this in a different year. I don't even know at this rate.
Like, yeah, it's craziness. So there. That's there. You got two Christmas episodes from us. So you are welcome. So
holiday episodes. We want to be inclusive like this movie.
Well, both of those movies literally have Christmas in the title.
They can't be anything else.
I think I can call them
Christmas
movies.
Well, no, one of those
movies.
Ice sculptures was a menorah, so you know, you never know.
Enjoy that.
So,
'tis the season.
So there, it's a Christmas movie. And thank you for tuning in, and until next time, you've been warned.
Sessions presents A Peter Griffin Christmas, featuring such standards as...
Everybody look at the snow in the yard.
And who could forget...
I brought these gifts for you, they're up in my bum.
And everyone's favorite.
La 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 la, la 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 la, look at the bells, look at the bells. Holy crap, here comes Jesus, and he doesn't look too happy. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.